From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California is facing a projected $12 billion budget shortfall, one that Governor Gavin Newsom has said is partly due to the state's growing Medi-Cal costs, which offers public health insurance to roughly a third of Californians who are on limited income. One of the proposals Governor Newsom would like to make is to set an asset limit for eligibility. Specifically, people over 65 or with disabilities who have more than $2,000 in individual assets, like a savings account or cash on hand, could lose their coverage. This is now in the hands of the state legislature. Lawmakers have less than 2 weeks to pass a balanced budget. CalMatters health reporter Kristen Wong joins us with a breakdown of the rising costs of Medi-Cal in recent years, as well as the concerns from those at risk of losing coverage if this limit moves forward. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So let's just lay out some pretty easy kind of 101 on Medi-Cal. How does eligibility currently work if someone wants to enroll?
So Medi-Cal eligibility is, I think, first and foremost, you know, limited by income. You have to be at 138% of the federal poverty level or less. And in dollars, that equates to roughly, I think, $1,800 per month. And so if somebody has low income or if they have a disability, then they can enroll in Medi-Cal.
What changes in recent years have increased or changed eligibility for Medi-Cal?
There have been a number of changes. I mean, in the past few years, and honestly, for the past decade, there has been a real concerted push in California to expand eligibility to more people. And so that has included various age groups of undocumented immigrants and also eliminating things that advocates like to call financial cliffs, sort of, you know, like this asset test for seniors or disabilities. Once somebody turned 65, they would hit this financial cliff where suddenly they were not allowed to have any savings and then they would get kicked out of the program. So that was something that actually was eliminated last year.
So as it stands now, is there currently an asset limit at all for eligibility?
There is not.
Has there ever been one in the past?
There has been in the past. And it happened in kind of two different ways. So the asset test for a really long time has only applied to seniors, people 65 and older, or people with disabilities. The Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act got rid of the asset test for every other age group. So it has only ever applied to this group. But like I mentioned, there was sort of a phased-in approach where in 2022, the governor raised the ceiling for the asset test from $2,000 to $130,000.
That's a big difference.
It was a really big difference. And then last year, it was eliminated entirely.
Okay, so now let's dive into this current iteration of an asset limit that the governor is proposing. What would be considered an asset?
Very confusing things in some ways are considered assets. And that's what a lot of advocates say, you know, that creates additional problems. There are some sort of obvious things like, you know, things in your savings account, cash on hand, the home that you live in and a primary car, those are exempt. But if you have a second car, or if you own a second property, those count as assets. Some types of, you know, burial plots count as assets, but other types do not count as assets. If you have a 401k, the balance does not count as an asset, but any sort of monthly payout that you have counts as income, which could disqualify you from the income limit. So there are very complex rules that are attached to this test.
So how did the governor land on $2,000 as the asset limit that he would like to move forward when, you know, you just laid out a couple of years ago, it was $130,000?
Yeah. So in recent hearings, the justification from the governor and from his administration has really been that Medi-Cal enrollment has grown with these expansions, has grown too quickly, or at least much more quick than the state had originally projected. And so with that sort of $130,000 phase in, there were not actually very many people who enrolled in Medi-Cal and ended up qualifying. But when it was eliminated entirely last year, more than 100,000 people suddenly qualified and were able to enroll in Medi-Cal. And the state's projections had been, you know, less than a third of that. And so that enrollment growth is really driving increased costs.
Why is it limited to those 65 and older, as well as people with disabilities who would have to fall under this limit?
So like I mentioned before, Obamacare got rid of the asset test for all the other age groups. I actually don't know why they did not eliminate it for those for seniors and people with disabilities. But this is the only category where an asset test could be introduced.
Okay. So when the asset limit, the last one, was removed, you said about six figures, 100,000 people were able to become eligible, enrolled in Medi-Cal. The estimate was a third of that. So that is a big difference in what was projected. So how much could this save the state if a $2,000 asset limit for people 65 and older and people with disabilities, if this actually went through?
Yeah, so the governor's office is proposing or estimating that it would save the state next year about $500 million.
Okay. And you spoke with some people who are at risk of losing Medi-Cal coverage if this passes. What did you learn from them?
I did. I spoke with a couple of people, actually two people who are quadriplegic. They were paralyzed in various ways. And they rely on full-time caregivers to, you know, feed them, bathe them, you know, move them around their house, just daily living. And they're really, really scared of losing those caretakers because they can't do anything without them. And sort of at the same time, like, for example, one woman that I spoke to who lives in Long Beach, she's quadriplegic. She got about an $8,000 inheritance recently. And she's been able to use that money to sort of help pay for other supplies. She, you know, owns and lives in her own condo, and there have been repairs and maintenance things that she needs to get done around the house. And she's been able to take care of some of those expenses. But if the asset test is reinstated, then she would either have to spend all of that money all at once or not qualify for Medi-Cal. And then I spoke to another man who also lives down in Southern California, who his monthly rent is more than $2,000. And so how is somebody like that ever supposed to meet this test?
Yeah, I think some people would think $2,000 as an asset limit, and you mentioned it could, it's kind of complicated as to what qualifies as an asset. I mean, you even said certain types of funeral plots can count towards this, or withdrawing from your 401k, life insurance, in addition to just cash on hand, a second vehicle can count as an asset. That doesn't seem like a lot given the cost of living in California, housing, not to mention these are individuals that have probably lifetime medical needs, and that comes with dollar signs. It costs money.
Yeah, it certainly does. And a lot of advocacy groups that advocate for people with disabilities and for aging say that it is, you know, pretty much impossible to live without, to live below that $2,000 limit. And actually, there has been some critique in recent legislative hearings with lawmakers questioning this, particularly the return to the $2,000, because that was a number that had not been updated since 1989. So it's been many decades without any adjustment for inflation or cost of living when that number was originally set in the state. Mm.
For those individuals that you spoke to, say if this moves forward and they lose Medi-Cal, what other resources or assistance is available? Let's start with people who are 65 and older. I mean, doesn't Medicare kick in?
Yeah, Medicare does kick in if you qualify and if you're 65 and older. However, Medicare is not as comprehensive as Medi-Cal. And one of the things that it does not pay for is long-term care. I believe it pays for some home care, but not long-term care. And so a lot of, like, you know, nursing home, full-time, 24/7 care. So a lot of seniors, particularly those who are low income, they are enrolled in both, and they rely on Medi-Cal to kind of fill in those gaps that Medicare doesn't pay for. And Medicare also has you know, copays as well. And so for people on fixed incomes who can't afford the copay, Medi-Cal usually takes care of that.
What about individuals with disabilities? If they lose Medi-Cal, what assistance is out there for them?
It's really tough for people. A lot of people say that, you know, they'll end up in nursing homes, probably. I think that something to think about in terms of policy is that a lot of these people, like the woman I spoke to who got that $8,000 inheritance, she's disabled. She does work part time, but, you know, her income is very low. She would be kicked off of the program until that money runs out. And then she would qualify again and re-enroll and have to reestablish care and all of these things. And so she would eventually get those services. But for someone like her, who requires 24/7 care, she's getting in-home care, even a slight gap like that, she would have no options.
Right. And if these Californians lose Medi-Cal, that doesn't mean that they stop needing health care, right? So how could this potentially impact the overall industry?
I think the thought is that in the long term, it would become more expensive for a couple of reasons. One is that Medi-Cal does pay for nursing homes. And part of the budget proposal is to also limit the in-home care. So it's both the asset limit and then limiting how much home care people can get. But nursing homes, which Medi-Cal does pay for, are far more expensive than in-home care is. And on top of that, lawmakers have brought up that, you know, this is probably really likely to result in some more homelessness, particularly among the elderly and people with disabilities. And that's another expense. That's another thing that the state has to pay for. And so there are some questions about whether this is actually good fiscal policy. It might sort of have some immediate savings, but not save the state money in the long run.
What has the governor's office said in response to these concerns that were laid out?
You know, the governor's office has said primarily that the state is facing a $12 billion deficit. There has been a lot of finger pointing at the federal government for the tariffs and things like that in terms of the cause for the deficit. But Governor Newsom has also acknowledged that Medi-Cal spending growth over the past few years is part of something that the state needs to address and that we need to make, you know, quote, difficult choices.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters health reporter Kristen Wong about a proposal from Governor Newsom to set an asset limit for Medi-Cal coverage, specifically that people over 65 or with disabilities who have more than $2,000 in individual assets, $3,000 for a couple, would lose coverage. So where does this proposal stand now?
It's being debated. Budget negotiations are always kind of very tightly under wraps in the Capitol. But I think as your listeners would have heard earlier in the program, the state has less than 2 weeks to pass a final balanced budget.
From what you can gauge, since lawmakers have a pretty fast approaching deadline, is there the appetite to push this through at the state legislature?
I think there's a lot of opposition to this proposal. There are a number of other proposed Medi-Cal cuts, for example, freezing enrollment on undocumented immigrants that are also very controversial. And, you know, Democratic lawmakers and a lot of advocates are opposed to those. But this particular one, I think, is a little bit more bite-sized. It saves the state less money, if it saves the state money at all. And so I do think that there is kind of a lot of opposition in the building.
Finally, I'm curious, just as a health reporter, what your big takeaway reporting on this is. I mean, it seems like this is the piece of a larger conversation. Like, if the status quo of Medi-Cal coverage isn't sustainable, as the governor says, are there other conversations that are taking place to make this coverage accessible to people who need it while also staying within the state's means and not spending more than what you have?
There certainly are conversations about that. I I know that there are certain lawmakers who believe the state should raise more revenue as opposed to make cuts. Governor Newsom has repeatedly, you know, many times in the past said that he would not support increasing taxes. But these conversations are also happening in the context of what's happening federally with regards to Medicaid cuts that are being pushed through Congress. And unfortunately, all of that does leave California in a really difficult position because the state has a deficit. It doesn't have any money to backfill any cuts that might come from the federal government. And so people really are looking at, you know, there are potentially things like, are there benefits that could be cut as opposed to kicking people out of the program? But I don't think anything, at least publicly, nothing has sort of solidified yet.
Kristen, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And that is CalMatters health reporter Kristen Wong discussing a proposal from Governor Newsom to set an asset limit for Medi-Cal coverage, specifically that people over 65 or with disabilities who have more than $2,000 in individual assets, they could lose coverage. This is now in the hands of the state legislature. Lawmakers have less than 2 weeks to pass a balanced budget. Up next, California's wine industry is facing headwinds not seen in decades. We'll unpack the main drivers behind this slump and which regions in our backyard are hardest hit. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.